So, an apology. I was told yesterday, and Nishkinshina told me it was verse 46, but, so I read that, but I looked on the board, it's verse 45. But Krishna is very merciful, he's playing tricks on me, as he usually does. So, also another apology is that I do apologize if I say something that is quite harsh, but it's meant to be really not harsh. The reason I can say this is that one time, some of you know, some of you don't, in 2011 I had a open heart operation, and afterwards I had to go to Watford General, see the cardiac consultant, one of them, and as I was waiting outside his office, there was two doctors leaving the stroke ward. And one of them said, I love this job. I love being, you know, but there's one thing I don't really like to do. And the doctor said, what's that? He said, I have to go now and tell a patient that that you're terminally sick and you just go home, you've got 6 months to live. I don't really like doing it. And from that, I can understand that sometimes that the harsh things that some people, that the devotees say, are actually they don't want to say, but they have to say it because that doctor could have kept that patient in illusion, thinking he could go home. And he'll live for a long time. But you know, he said, but no, I have to tell him, he has to go home and die within 6 months. I do apologize, but it's meant to be to keep us, especially me, out of illusion. So I'll read it, the verses, first canto, chapter 13, verse 45. Therefore give up all anxiety due to ignorance of the self. You are now thinking of how they, who are helpless poor creatures, will exist without you. Purport. When we think of our kith and kin as being helpless and dependent on us, it is all due to ignorance. Every living entity is allowed all protection by the order of the Supreme Lord in terms of each one's acquired position in the world. The Lord is known as Bhutabhrit, one who gives protection for all living beings. One should discharge his duties only, for no one but the Supreme Lord can give protection to anyone else. This is explained more clearly in the following verse. Om Gyanandasya Ganaslagaya Dasudena Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha. So I said I was told it's verse 46, so I studied that, but so found out it's verse 45, but now of course, the main topic of this verse is the protection. Is the protection that the living entities have, and as Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, we think that our kin and kith, our family members, are being helpless and dependent on us. But this is due to our ignorance, because all living entities are being protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But fortunately, the general mass of the people in this world, they do not understand it. They think that everything depends on them, but they don't realize that every living entity is dependent on Krishna. And because Krishna, he is the source of all moving and living. Hamsavasya prabhavaho matasavam prabhavate iti matva vijantimam bhajajamamasanti. Well, I am the source of all moving. I am all the source of all material and spiritual world. Everything depends on me. The wise who know this engage in my devotional service. So they don't understand this. So the devotees, of course, so this is the purpose of this material world. Now the living entity, or the jiva soul, is under the control of the Maya Shakti. The Maya Shakti brings us under the ignorance, thinking we are the maintaining ourselves. But in this one book called Bhagavad Thakur, and it's a very nice book. It's Prabhupada recommend everyone should read it, and it's called Jiva Dharma. And in this book, the essence of this book is the 10 Das Mula Tattvas, or the Prabhupada, as Bhagavad Thakur, he says, the ten fundamental tattvas of the ten fundamental tattvas, and how they are broken, how it's constructed. Bhagavad Thakur constructed it is that the first is the pranam, which is the proof or the evidence from the Vedas. Then from 2 to 10 is what we call the prameya, which is proved, which is actually being proved by the evidence from the Vedas. And 2:2-8 is the Sambandha Tattva. Eight is Abhideya, and number 10 is Parojan Tattva. Why the seventh and eighth actually describing So the first from 2 to 5, no, sorry, 2 to 4, 2, 3, and 4 are describing Krishna Tattva, which includes the Shakti Tattva. And then 5, 6, and 7 are is the Jiva Tattva, which includes how the Jiva soul is bound up in Maya, and also how to get out of Maya. And number eight is where Lord Caitanya reconciles the two, Krishna Tattva and the Jiva Tattva. He reconciles it by the philosophy of a Vintachetavaitava Tattva. And in that chapter, chapter seven, it describes in that how we fell into this illusionary energy. First of all, it is our own fault, because the Jiva soul has independence. Krishna is completely independent. And because we're part and parcel of Krishna, we are minute, so therefore our independence is minute. And so therefore, our minute independence, it's very minute. And therefore due to our size as a spirit soul, even though the spirit soul is very powerful, but due to the size of the spirit soul, 1,000 tenth tip of a hair, that it is also very weak. So therefore, we can fall into Maya very, very easily due to misuse of our minute independence. But also, it also says, Bhagavan Thakur, he says that in this chapter, that this Maya Shakti is actually a transformation of the internal potency. And that Krishna is very, very merciful for the ones who misuse their independence, my new independence. He throws them into this material world, or places them in the material world. And we being eternal beings, and Krishna being eternal, we are also eternal. And that relationship, that sambandha will always be there. Just like you get a well-to-do family and you get somebody, as they say, a rotten apple in the family, and the family disown that person. But he may be a bad apple, a rotten apple in the family, but that person has still got that relationship with the other family members. So similarly, Krishna has this leela, this eternal leela, with the Bhadajivas. And the reason for this is Krishna knows that by placing that Bhadajiva in this material world, eventually, through the suffering that Bhadajiva gets through lifetimes after lifetime, eventually he will, or they will, come to surrender to Krishna, to inquire about spiritual life, eventually. When that Bhadajiva comes to their senses. And then in number seven, it describes how the jiva can get out of the spiritual, out of the material samsara of birth, death, an old age and disease. Seven. The first one was six, was how the Jiva Bhada got into Maya. Number seven is when how to get out of it. So the sloka for this is Yad Brahman Brahman Hari Rasa Galada Vaishnav Janam Kachit Samparasyam Tad Anuganashmi Sadyat Vrava Yuta Tada Krishna Vatilya Tarajati Sankayi Mayika Dasham Surupam Vibrano Vimala Vrasa Bogam Sa Karujiti. When in course of wandering amongst the higher and lower species in the material world, a jiva is able to behold a Vaishnava absorbed in the following rasa of Sri Hari Bhakti. Taste arises in his heart for following the Vaishnava's way of life. By chanting Sri Krishna Nam, he gradually becomes free from his conditioning, step by step, and he gains his intrinsic Chinmaya Sarup, transcendental eternal form, and becomes qualified to taste the pure and spiritual rasa of the direct service to Sri Krishna. So from that, because this is actually that Dasmatattva is the 10 fundamental eternal truths. So we have to take shelter of a Krishna's representative, a spiritual master, a living spiritual master. Now the reason I say this is because we can hear classes. We can hear so many recorded classes, and we will get some benefit. But to hear from a living guru is more beneficial, because that living guru can, if we have any confusion or we cannot understand anything, he can take away that confusion and clear what we cannot understand. So I can give my own example. When I was in Mayapur, living in Mayapur, and I was hearing a lot of classes and reading a lot of books based on lectures of Govinda Maharaj, and there was some confusion and something that I couldn't understand. So that at that time, there's one devotee who was a disciple of Govinda Maharaj, and it was Vrindavan Das. Now he's here, he's washing the pots at the back there. So I went to see, I spoke to him, and he said, "Yes, what shall I do?" He said, and then he said, you should go to Gadagiri as soon as possible. And that's it, that this is what his instruction was. And then, and in Mayapur, you only get 2 weeks of the year to visit holy places, the holy dharms. So, okay, I'm due my 2 weeks, so I'll spend 10 days at Gadagiri in Orissa, and the other day, and then never. Then I'll go to Puri, Jagannath Puri. So then, got the train to Brahmeshwara, stayed at Madhavananda's house. And they arranged for me to go to Gadagiri. And when Madhavananda came back, he said, "You're very fortunate." He said, "Why?" I said, "Why?" "Because Sripad Natanya Chandra is there, and there's room in his personal car, and you can go with him. So you just be there at a certain time. His driver is expecting you. Just go buy his car." So I was fortunate. Then, and I immediately knew there was some connection immediately just by seeing him. Then eventually got to Gadagiri. And then just by hearing his classes, which normally started at 9 o'clock. Generally finished at 10 o'clock. Sometimes finished 10:30. One class finished at 11 o'clock. All my confusion, all my things I didn't understand about those things about Govinda Maharaj's classes and his books had completely erased. So since then, he's been my Shiksha Guru. And on that visit to Gadagiri, I didn't have personal darshan, just his classes, because he could understand the heart of his Guru, of his Guru Maharaj, and he understood because he was traveling with him for such a long time. He could understand the actual philosophy. And so this is why it's important to have a living guru, a spiritual master. Now, I've got some time, yeah. This is some quotations from Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Goswami Prabhupada on the paramount necessity of having a living guru. When we hear about the Supreme Lord from his own agent, when we hear those things, when all material experience and inclination to make up false arguments have been locked up, when we hear about the Supreme Lord from a living sadhu, we can deliver those talks in a bold, lively, inspiring way. When all weaknesses will disappear from our hearts, we will feel a kind of courage which was never there before, and the soul's natural tendency to surrender to the Lord will fully manifest itself. In that surrendered soul, in that surrendered heart, the eternal manifested truth of the transcendental world will spontaneously reveal itself. Next one is question. Can one worship Krishna without the guidance of Gurudev? Answer. Never. Our only aim is to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Our aim of life is to cultivate Krishna consciousness. This can only be done under the guidance or instruction of a devotee of Krishna. Sri Vishubhanu Devi, Vishubhanu Devi, Srimati Radharani, is most favored by Krishna. Worshipping her is the most favorable for worshipping Krishna. No one is more favorable than Srimati Radharani. Those who are very dear to Srimati Radharani are all our spiritual masters. We Gaudiya Vaishnavas are more on the side of Radharani than the side of Krishna. Sri Gurudev is none different from Srimati Radharani. By getting the favor of the most favored, it is possible to cultivate Krishna consciousness. When one is not under the guidance of the most favored, one will not find anything favorable for the cultivation of Krishna consciousness or the pursuit of Krishna consciousness. Instead, one's hearts will be dominated by the demonic desire for one's own happiness. One has to give up such tendencies which are unfavorable for devotion, and one has to give up all pride and ignorance. A devotee can find all the opportunity to serve Krishna only when he wants to serve Krishna under the guidance of Gurudev. But unfortunately, we have forgotten to make any effort to make Krishna happy. Instead, we have become busy in pursuit of our own happiness. Now, this last one is, alas, instead of making Krishna the head of our household, we are acting in the role of householder. We have become attached to our family life. But if we want what is good for us, then we have to be careful while we are alive in this human body. Otherwise, we were deceived and we missed this golden opportunity. So it says, to clear up, if I misunderstand, that when Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says our Gurudev is none different from Srimati Radharani, that we have to understand that the Manjaris and the Gopis are actually manifestations of Srimati Radharani. And they are non-different from Srimati Radharani. So this is what he is meaning, what he is saying is that our Gurudev is non-different from Srimati Rani because he's the manifestation of one of our Manjaris or Gopis, because our line is actually Manjari, our Gaudiya Vaishnava line is actually coming from the Manjari, as a Manjari line. This is backed up because we are Rupanugas. We're followers of Rupa Goswami, a Rupa Manjari. And we are followers of Rupa Goswami, who is Rupa Manjari. And the other day, back in the Srila Prabhupada, Tuesday. And Srila Prabhupada was explaining one bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur. And Prabhupada explaining the meaning of one line, he said, the only way to enter Vrindavan is through the lotus feet and following Rupa Goswami, who is Rupa Manjari. So our line is actually Manjari, the Manjari line. So our gurus are actually coming from that line as well. Bona fide gurus, of course, not bogus gurus. So our Gurudev is our most worshipable. Without his mercy, we can't do anything, and we cannot make any progress. So I will stop there. I will try to answer any questions or queries. I'll try to answer.